Turn your Bibles to John chapter 9 this morning. We're going to close out this chapter. Did I hear somebody say finally? Hey, I'll just live here, okay? I'll just live here. What a great testimony we've heard from this man that was born blind through his life. And what a great encouragement for you and me, if you're in that group, and you all are, okay, who have those things in your life that you would call suffering, those bad things, those things that you don't like. And we found out about this guy that he was born blind, not because of anything that he had done, not because of anything that his parents had done. Everybody had concluded that that's the reason the guy was blind. Somebody sent this man or his parents. Jesus said, wait a minute, no. Nobody sinned. That's not what caused this. Listen to this. This man was born blind that the works of God might be manifest in him. Now, your point of suffering, whether it's blindness or whatever it is, physical, whatever, okay, are you okay with the fact that God allowed that to be in your life so that he might work his works in you? Are we all right with that? That's called kingdom living, okay? Kingdom living. And so as we encounter these trials and tribulations and all those kind of things, okay? Stop and say, Lord, I know that I believe in you as my Lord and Savior. And I know that anything that comes into my life, you plan or permit. And I want to live through this trial, this tribulation, so that you're glorified. Okay? All right, well, let's go back and read the last part of this. As you know, this started as one teaching with 3 points, and it's been now 3 teachings with 1 point each. We're to the third one today, okay? There's no fourth. Begin reading with me in verse 35, John chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That's the man who was born blind. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And the blind man said, who's no longer blind, he can see now. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him, worshipped Jesus. In verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me and those... That those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, and they said to them, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This man spent his life, he's an adult, when Jesus passed by that day, as he was going, he passed by, remember? We need to pay attention to those we pass by as we're going, because God may be working in that person's life, and he's assigned you or me to pass by. So as he was passing by, he mixed mud on the ground, spit in the dirt, the dry area there, and so he made some mud, he put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did not see at that time. He had never seen Jesus. He got up, okay, and went. How he got there, we don't know. But he got to the pool of Siloam and he washed. And when he washed the mud out of his eyes, he could see. And that man then came back seeing, and he creates a great stir in Jerusalem. Now, this is only one of 2 miracles that Jesus did in Judea, in Jerusalem. The other was the paralyzed man at another pool, the pool of Bethesda. And so it's quite a stir. This just doesn't happen every day among those people. And they're all worked up about it, and the parents are they're to the point of disowning their son because they knew if they identified with him, they might get kicked out of the synagogue. And we found out last week this man was kicked out of the synagogue. And we know that what that means was that he could no longer participate in that culture economically. He couldn't buy and sell. He could no longer participate in that culture socially. Even to his parents, he was anathema. They wanted nothing to do with him. Because to be close to him, a friend to him, whatever, you may get kicked out too. And he's also kicked out religiously. Now there's no longer sacrifices for sins. He's Jewish. And so he is cast out. And Jesus, we know, found him. He didn't go looking and searching and hunting. Has he seen him? He knew exactly where he was. And folks, he knows exactly where you and I are all the time. And he knows what we're doing all the time. He's God. He's God. And Jesus found the man, and the healing was a big deal, but it wasn't the reason that Jesus touched this man. No, we found out last week that he touched this man so that this man might see spiritually. Because you see, he was born blind physically, and he was also born blind spiritually. All right, there are three questions we've investigated in this passage. One was, he said to the man when he found him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" That's the first question. We spent a whole week on that, if you remember. The second question is asked by the man to Jesus, "Sir, who is he that I may believe in him?" That's the second question. We looked at that last week. The third question of this passage we read this morning, and this question is, "Are we also blind?" That's the third question, the 3 points, if you will. At this point, the blind man disappears. We don't hear anything else from him. I thought that was interesting. I mean, this is a miracle of miracles, okay? A man born blind could now see, whether he had no eyes and Jesus made eyes, or whether he had some type of visual problem with nerves or whatever. I don't know, okay? The bottom line is he couldn't see. He had never seen. And Jesus gave him his sight. And so the man that is born blind just seems to disappear. We don't hear from him. We don't even know his name. Did you ever think about that? We don't know the guy's name. Look, Jesus Christ is not about making people famous. He is about making people holy. And this man is nameless, and at this point, we don't hear another word from him. He's no longer the focus of John's recordings, John the Apostle. And the focus now in this last question is going to turn to the people. The scripture said, you read it with me, who were near him. There's a crowd, apparently. And there were the folks that were near him. While this discourse is going on between Jesus and the blind man, when he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? There are people that are close. They're hearing this. And they're listening. Jesus is focused on the blind man, but these folks are kind of eavesdropping, if you will. You ever done that? All right. Well, they are. And so they respond, the people that are near him respond to something Jesus said to the man. Specifically, the Pharisees that are near him respond. Now, the Pharisees are one of the three groups we see in Scripture, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. These are the keepers of the law. These are the folks that are going to instruct others in the law. They've studied it. They've been brought up with it. They're kind of the blue-collar religious experts, if you want to call them that. Whereas the scribes and the Sadducees are kind of elite groups. These are the blue-collar theologians of their day. And so they're listening in. They're trying to hang Jesus with the fact that he broke the Sabbath. All right? They're still after him from healing the man over at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. And now they've got into this debate, and they've beat on him, not literally, but verbally, with the fact that, you know, he can't be of God because he's a lawbreaker and all this kind of thing. And so they're listening. They're waiting for anything at all that they can hear that'll nail him. I don't mean that literally. They're going to do that, aren't they? Okay? But they're looking to catch him, breaking the law. And Jesus said this, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now, he said that knowing the response he's going to get from the Pharisees. In this statement that we just read, Jesus reveals his mission. The Word became flesh and dwell among us, John has already told us in the first chapter, remember? The Word, capital W, the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and now He is identifying Himself as the Word. He is identifying Himself as God in the flesh. He is identifying Himself as the one who is coming for a specific purpose. He's informing of His mission. Now, he's already alluded to that, but he really draws that in at this time. Jesus' purpose in coming the first time was not to condemn. Don't get lost in that word, "for judgment I have come into the world." When Jesus came first, when he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy of the Old Testament Scripture, when he fulfilled that Scripture and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, he came to redeem. He came to be the atonement for the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin. He came to die for the sins of the world. He is going to judge. We know that all judgment is given to him, reserved for him by the Father. So when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, who's going to be there? I won't be there. Trina, you going to be there? Yeah. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers. Now, if you want to put that on a calendar, don't hold me to this. We won't start a denomination about it this morning. I think that's going to be after the church is caught away. I think that's what we're going to be doing in heaven while the tribulation, the 7 years, is just raging down here. So don't hang me if you're not, you know, of that ilk, okay? But the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be judged for the sins you have committed. Those were judged on the cross. He has put them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again, if you're in Christ Jesus. But what is going to be judged there by Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ are your what you've done. What you've done as a believer. And really what is judged there more than anything is motive. If you did what you did, that's kind of hard to get your mind around because we're here thinking there and going back here. But if you did what you did while you were a believer for your own glory, all of that's going to be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. But if you did it, whatever it is, for the glory of Jesus Christ, you're going to receive a reward. Gold, silver, precious stone. Now hang on. If everything gets burned up that you have done, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have believed in Him as Lord and Savior, and if it all gets burned up, you are still redeemed. This is not about salvation. That was sealed. You're not working for your salvation. That was established and finalized by Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, not what you and I do now. You with me? But what you do and what I do as believers is going to be tried. Jesus is going to be the judge there. Jesus is also going to be the judge at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment over there in the last part of Revelation. You're not going to be there. Are you, Dwayne? No. You don't want to be there. Because the folks that are there are those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Scripture calls them the dead. And they're raised up, the dead, and all of the dead will be at the great white throne judgment. What's going to be judged there are all of the works, all the sin, everything. It's recorded in books, and the books are open. And it's, I don't know what it's going to look like exactly, but it's going to be when Harry, anybody hear a name of Harry? Okay, good. Harry steps up there, all right? And Jesus, the judge, knows everything Harry's done. Everything. And he goes through the list and list and list. Remember, eternity has no time, so don't you say, well, if they're in the back of the line, that's going to... Don't worry about that kind of stuff, okay? And what the person has done is going to be judged. Then another book is opened, it says. And that other book is the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. If Harry's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which it isn't, okay, or he wouldn't be where he is, then he is accountable for all of the sin that he has committed. One sin is sufficient. One sin is sufficient to keep a person out of God's heaven. And then everybody at that great white throne judgment, Judge Jesus, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Not to have death, but eternal death. As long as heaven is for those of us who have believed, hell is as long for those who didn't believe. Eternal punishment. So when he's talking about judgment, he's not talking about this first time that he came. But he's talking about the fact that he is going to judge. Jesus' purpose was not to condemn when he came the first time, when he's talking to the Pharisees here in just a second, okay? But in saving some, others are condemned. In saving some, others are condemned. And that's what's going to happen. The man who was born blind has been saved. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He believed in the Son of Man. Jesus asked him, have you believed in the Son of Man? And he said, who is he that I might believe in him? And he said, the one that's talking to you right now and the one who gave you eyes to see is him. And he said, Lord, I believe. And in this act of salvation for this blind man, the Pharisees who are listening are condemned. In just living your life, are those who yet to believe brought under conviction? Does your life in Christ Jesus shine so that just being around you, they're convicted? Are they aware that they are condemned because they haven't believed? Not by you, but because of their rejecting so great a salvation. The man that was born blind can now see physically. Jesus healed him. And now he can also see spiritually because he said, Lord, I believe. Now the Pharisees, this arrogant, self-determined, righteous group of people, can see physically. They've never been blind, but they are blind spiritually. And that's where Jesus is going with what he's saying here. Jesus is using the healing of a blind man to pronounce a great truth. Everybody in here, myself included, of course, I'm everybody, like you are, everybody. All of us in here were born spiritually blind. I don't know, we may have someone who is blind physically today. I don't know, okay? But if there was a person here who was physically blind, like this man, he was born physically blind and he was born spiritually blind. But everyone is born spiritually blind. Some receive their sight, their spiritual sight, but not everybody. others remain spiritually blind. And it all comes down to whether they, you, me, make the same confession this man made. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Remember, at first he called him Sir, and now he addresses him as Lord. All right, you know the old saying, you chuck a rock into a pig pen, and the pig that squeals is the pig that got hit. Okay? The Pharisees are squealing. Jesus has just chucked a rock into the pig pen, and the pigs are squealing because they got hit. Let's examine now what's going on with these folks, these Pharisees. When Jesus finished saying what he said, the Pharisees who are near him, they step up and they said, "Are we also blind?" They're challenging him. He's challenged them on purpose. He's not talking to the air out here. He knows who they are. He knows they're close. And they take it, okay? They're squealing, if you will. Are we also blind? Now, let me help us here a minute, okay? How do we expect lost people to act? Lost. So, you know, quit wringing your hands and, you know, foaming at the mouth and all those kind of things about things that are going on in our country, okay? Or the world. No, folks, lost people act like lost people. And they're going to do what we would do if we were not in Christ Jesus. Now, if you profess to be in Christ Jesus and you're doing what lost people do, we got a problem. We don't have a problem. You got a problem. Right? Because the continual habitual pattern of your life is unrighteousness, sin. You can't be that way if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are we also blind? This question is a question that all of us had to come to grips with. Are we also blind? What does it mean to be able to see spiritually? To have spiritual eyes? What does it mean to see spiritually? The first thing you have to see, any person, is to see yourself as a sinner. That is not a popular idea today, folks. Are y'all familiar at all, it's been around for some years now, with a movement in our land called the Emergent Church? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Scott, I see that hand, okay. Folks, please, when you do hear about it, run. Run. Now, there's some pretty heavy-duty kind of popular folks who are a part of the emergent church movement. Some of the things that they're dabbling with now. You ever heard of Chrislam? Chrislam? You know what that is? It's where the emergent church movement, and it is not something you join, it's just kind of what everybody that's a part of that, okay, they don't have a dogma or doctrine or that kind of thing necessarily, but it's just really whatever we want to think or do or be. And so what they've done with this thing called Chrislam is they have joined, now I'm talking about evangelical quote-unquote churches here, and they join evangelical, the emergent church, the evangelical church with Islam. And so they bring both into the same worship setting. And they set Muhammad up over here and Jesus up over here as co-equals. Chrislam. And so they're going to actually combine these two religions. Is anybody offended by that? Why? Well, first off, you should be offended because they have said that Christianity is a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Islam is a religion. Buddhism is a religion. And all the other is religion, not Christianity. And by the way, Jesus is not co-equal with Muhammad or any other false deity. He is very God. He is very God. Danger, folks. Run from that. I don't know what the motivation, I think I can probably guess what it is. Okay, we'll get everybody together under the same tent, and we'll all get along together, and there'll be no war, that kind of thing. You ever heard of kingdom circles? Kingdom circles are literally a graphic, okay? Draw a circle here, Christian. Draw a circle here, Islam. Draw a circle here, Buddhism. All the circles, they're all kingdom circles, okay? And the idea is that you bring all of these kingdom circles together. Now, stay who you are, okay, in your identity within your circle, but also be tolerant of the other circles. Folks, when you hear emergent church, don't go near it. Run. To be able to see spiritually, we have to see ourselves as a sinner, both by nature and actions. You see, the emergent church movement denies the fact that we're born with a sinful nature. They marginalize those passages in Romans that establish that beyond question. They're saying you were not born into sin. In fact, you become a sinner. Folks, the Scripture, the Word of God says that you and I were born with sinful natures that we received from our ancestor Adam who first sinned. So if you can see spiritually, you see yourself as a sinner. If you see spiritually, you see that you're condemned to eternal separation from God. You can't see that if you cannot see spiritually. Because the idea is, hey, God's going to let everybody in. Hey, God's love. He wouldn't banish anybody. We're all going to get there. That is the testimony of a spiritually blind person, not one who can see. If you can see spiritually, you see that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. You see that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, Son of God, member of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Most people in the world reject that. They're spiritually blind. If you see spiritually, you see that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. Your sin, because you know that you're a sinner, He died for your sins and the sins of the whole world. He gave His life a ransom for all. He died on the cross. His blood was shed to cover our sins. And we see that His sacrificial death on the cross is the only atonement for sin. There is no other way. His death on the cross, His shed blood, is the only atonement for the sin of the world. If you see spiritually, that's what you see. That's what you see. Now, I want you to know that if you see spiritually and this person is blind spiritually, everything you are, say, do, are is craziness to them. You're going to be labeled. You're going to be condemned, criticized. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you, it hated me first. You're not going to be in the inner circle, whatever that is or wherever it is. You're different because you can see and they can't. You with me? Now, what does it mean to be blind? Well, pretty much the opposite of what we said, but there's some other things that come into play here. seeing anything else or trusting in anything else other than Jesus Christ. That person is blind. For example, these people were saying, we keep the law. That's what the Pharisees were saying. We are descendants of Moses. We are Moses' apostles, followers, etc. We're disciples of Moses. We keep the law. We'll hear today folks say, well, I'm not so bad, you know. I've never murdered anybody, you know. I treat my wife, my husband, you know, that kind of thing, you know. I try not to speed when I'm on the highway, you know. I go to church every now and then. Blind. Trusting in anything else save the shed blood of Jesus Christ is blindness. Trying to attain righteousness by substituting anything for belief in Jesus. And there's a lot of options out there. And a lot of people are trying to leverage those options. None of it can forgive even one sin that you have committed. Worshiping and serving Lordship, we looked at it last week, anything or any activity other than Jesus Christ is blindness. And then the blind person, the person who is yet to believe, and we're not throwing rocks at anybody, the Lord would want everyone to repent, the Scripture says. Okay? He's not out there, okay, this is the club, you want in the club? No, that's not it, okay? He died for all. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He knows that all will not, but He wants everyone. That's why we don't want to walk past any person as we walk through this life, because we may be the person who is set in that person's path so that they may receive their sight spiritually. Is that how you're focused here? Huh? Is that your agenda? Dwayne challenged us some years ago now, I guess it is, about being conscious of every person we come into contact with. Is this a divine appointment? We've got to get there, folks. We've got to walk there. You say, well, I don't want to be rude. Oh, folks, you want to know what rude is? When they're in that line at the Great White Throne Judgment, and they remember the day that you passed by and didn't say anything. That's rude. That's rude. So, what are you going to do, offend them? Huh? I guarantee you, offense is coming. And they will be forever grateful to Jesus Christ who saved them, but also to that person who spoke the gospel to them. But those who are blind have a continual habitual practice of basically two things. Lust. And lust is anything you continually and habitually crave or seek. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that had to go. The lust of the flesh. Can't be. Why? John tells us. Because if the continual habitual practice of your life is lust, then you have never passed from death into life. Now, we're talking about anything that you continually and habitually crave or seek. I don't know what that is in any given life. But it is. And if it is, then the person is spiritually blind. And the other we talked about a few weeks ago as we came through this is pride, lust and pride. Pride, anything that dominates your time, your talent, and your treasure, and has your devotion and affection, and that which gives you identity and purpose. Did you follow all that? That's pride. You say, well, what's it supposed to be? He dominates your time, your talent, and your treasure. And He is the focus of your devotion and affection. and it is in Him that you gain your identity and purpose. That is a person who has denied self and died to self and follows Jesus. A person who is blind spiritually, life is controlled by lust and pride. And they have died to lust and pride. All right, back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are blind. They're spiritually blind. And by asking the question, are we also blind? They knew that they were blind. They knew that they were blind. And folks, we know if we're blind or if we can see. If you're saying, well, you just don't know. You got to wait till that, you know, that time, and then, you know. No. How can you have the joy of your salvation if you're waiting to find out? See? No, you know if you can see. You know if you can see. And these Pharisees knew that they were blind. So by asking the very question, they identified, we're blind. That's the problem that they had with what Jesus said. We are Moses' disciples, they said earlier. We're the stringent keepers of the law and the teachers of the law. See, they're trying to force to the front all their stuff. Did you notice that Jesus didn't even give the stuff time of day? And if He didn't for them, why do we think we can get by with it? They're blind. They're blind. You see, all that matters is truth, what God sees. That's all that matters. When He looks at your life, what does He see? That's truth. We already know that what He says is truth. But now the other part of that definition is what He sees. And we can debate and we can argue and all those kind of things. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter a bit. These guys were trying it. They tried all the time that Jesus was here. Never did work. And it won't work for us either. What does Jesus see when He sees, when He looks at our lives? So, let's bring this to a close now, all right? And you need to find yourself somewhere on this description, okay? It's possible to be blind and blind. The blind man was blind physically, and he was blind spiritually. Okay? It's possible to be blind and blind. I don't know that it would be anyone in here because I don't know if anyone's physically blind, but it's possible to be blind and blind. When the man was healed, he was no longer blind physically, but he remained blind spiritually. And when he said, Lord, I believe, his physical eyes were seeing, and now he could see spiritually. Everybody in this room is described in one of those areas. Blind and blind. Can see physically but blind spiritually. That's the Pharisees, of course. And like the man after he was healed and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he could physically see and spiritually see. So that describes, one of those describes every one of us in here. You know my next question. Which one? Which one? If you are spiritually blind this morning, and by the way, as we mentioned, we will know that. Jesus is still in the healing business. I like that old song that I used to sing as a boy growing up. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross for me. If you are yet to believe, there's room at the cross. That's the only place you're going to be able to see spiritually when you deal with the cross and His shed blood in your life. Let's pray. Father, as we close this chapter of John's Gospel, Lord, this man has had a great impact on my life, and I know that it has on many lives. A man who had a great need, and Jesus met it. A man who had a greater need, and Jesus met it. Father, I pray this morning for anyone in this room that has truly a physical need this morning. Your word promises, Lord, that you will meet all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not just to make us feel better, but Lord, because we're your children. And so I pray, Father, for those who have physical needs, like this man we've been with for so many weeks now. Lord, I pray that your mercy and grace will be poured out, and that according to your will, Father, you meet those needs. And Father, for any this morning who are spiritually blind, which is really the big deal, I pray that they would do what this blind man did. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. And worship you. So, Father, whether it's a physical need, but most importantly, spiritual need to see, come close. Holy Spirit, the Lord said that you would convict us, that you would do so in any life here this morning who's yet to believe. Eternity hangs in the balance. I pray none would leave today, not absolutely assured of where they will spend eternity. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.